Praise the Lord.
He really is God, a wonderful God. Remember in Revelation it says, He is, He was, and He is to come. That's wonderful. He was in the past, and today He is. And He knows what will happen in the future. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful God. And in Isaiah, God used this and emphasized it so strongly that this is the reason He is God, for no one except for Him knew what the source of all things were. Even scientists tried to prove, and in Geneva, they have the atom to recreate how God did the universe. They can save their money. Really. Why do they use so much money and work so hard, of course? In the end, it's just business. But who can create the universe in such a way? Just by the word of His mouth. And everything that is came out of nothing. He called something out of nothing. He just had to say, "Let there be light." And then there was light. It's so simple for God who created the whole universe. And this is what we have to know. We don't just have to know it as a fact, as knowledge, but this mighty God, how can you not treasure this God and look upon Him with amazement? Already from the beginning page of the Bible, there was light and there was light. And it wasn't just a small light. He created everything by the word of His power. Praise the Lord. Who can compare to this God and is equal to this God? We have such a wonderful word from the Lord, but we don't believe it. He calls into being what is not into being into being. And Abraham believed it. And we, as the children of Abraham, we also have to believe in such a way. And He raises from the dead. He makes the dead alive again. For example, Lazarus. It's so wonderful. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Who else could do that? Today, who can make the dead alive again? Can you do that? No, it's impossible. Even the wisest scientists, the smartest scientists, cannot raise a dead from the grave. Only God. We all have to see this. What a wonderful God we have. And in His ascension, He didn't need a rocket. He just ascended. And we? We need so much power and money. And we don't even know if it'll work or even if it'll, how high it'll go. The Lord doesn't need anything. He just ascends. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Who can compare and is equal to our God? All these things are really amazing. So here in chapter 40, we can see that God already foretold about John the Baptist without even mentioning his name. And then in the end, he said, this is Elijah that would come. And it was really Elijah who came, because John the Baptist came by the spirit of Elijah. And the Lord foretold everything in Isaiah.
was er für eine Aufgabe hat,
and what kind of a commission he had.
Gesagt,
John himself said, I am that voice, as Isaiah had told about long time ago, over 700 years ago. Please. Don't we treasure this, or is it just information for us? No. God said it. Not so that we could get information, but God told us so that we could know what kind of a God we have. Then, concerning Cyrus, he told us that he would come, and when he would come, what his mission would be, what God would do with him. Isn't that so wonderful? That is really so unique. What a great and almighty, capable God we have. With him, nothing is impossible. If the Lord said that, he really means it. That with God, all things are possible. With man, it's not possible, but with him, you don't have to worry about anything. With him, all things are possible. Isn't that a wonderful God? Now, we come to chapter 42. Now, it's important. This is more important than anything else, which is the revelation concerning the Messiah. Praise the Lord for this wonderful Christ. Amen. Behold, verse 1, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. Did God not say very clearly, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? Yes. And he is the only true faithful servant, the faithful witness. He was faithful to the Father in all things. That's why today we treasure Christ as this burnt offering. Many people know that he is our sin offering and our trespass offering. They believe that. But Jesus Christ, he as our burnt offering, they don't want to know it. They don't treasure it. But to God, the burnt offering has the first place. It's in the first position. Because it is the most important. The Lord, when he lived on this earth, came as the faithful servant. He was so faithful. He lived a life that was only for God. This is what God is precious to God. He was obedient to the death on the cross. Such a wonderful Christ. Always, he always led a life that was well-pleasing to God. And us? How often do we have we led a life that offends him, that makes him sad? It's not well-pleasing to him. We just do what we want. We think things that are not well-pleasing to him. We speak words. Lord Jesus, that are not well-pleasing to the Father. We go where the Father does not want us to go. We do things that we like to do. Don't we need Christ as this burnt offering or not? And here we can see, behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one. He is the stone precious to God, despised by man. But for God, he was chosen and precious. We are servants. Israel is his servant. That's what God said. That's what we just read. But what kind of servant? A stubborn, stiff-necked, and often disobedient. Of course, we're all servants of the Lord. But not so well-pleasing as this servant. Whom I uphold, my elect one. These words are wonderful. In whom my soul delights. Such a servant of God, not only faithful, but in all things he led a life that was so well-pleasing to the Father. This is why Hebrews also says in chapter 2 that our Lord was faithful over the whole house of God. We are not faithful, I'm telling you. I saw so much in us. We were not faithful. Maybe in a few things that we like to do, we're faithful. Yeah, I'm faithful as long as I like it. I like to do it. But once I don't like it, then I'm not faithful anymore. And that is the problem. That is the problem. Christ, a son over God's house, whose house we are, was so faithful. None of us are as faithful as he was. We don't even come close. And that's why there's so much confusion in God's house, because we are unfaithful. I have put my spirit upon him. What kind of spirit is this now? Where is this spirit? Of course. We will never forget it. Chapter 11. We have to also experience such a wonderful spirit today. And I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And he surely did this so faithfully. For this reason, because we are unfaithful, we are so wishy-washy and fickle. One day we're like this, tomorrow we're not. Then we'll be something else. And then we're drawn to other things and this thing. My goodness. We change like the weather. Sometimes there's sunshine, sometimes it rains, and then it cools off. And then tomorrow it'll be warm. This is how we are. Earlier, before, we used to be hallelujah for the church. And now, that's nothing. That's how we are. This is how I am. If we do not take Christ as our burnt offering, if just this little problem comes, I already change my mind. What? Surely that's not it. If it's from the Lord, why are there so many problems? That's my concept, my argument. But the Lord has 1,000 more problems, and he did not change his mind. And when it comes to us, there's just a little problem, and we think, surely that's not from the Lord. Yeah. Because we haven't seen so clearly what is in the heart of the Father. Remember, the Lord came from the Father's bosom. He had a very clear commission from the Father. And no matter how difficult it was, he was a faithful servant. He went straight to the cross. He did not let himself be distracted, or no matter how difficult the situation was. This is this wonderful servant. That's why we treasure the burnt offering today. Lord, you are the burnt offering. You are so well-pleasing to the Father. And if we treasure this burnt offering, then more and more we will be conformed to His image. We want to experience the Lord in many different ways, but don't want to experience the burnt offering. We want to experience this and that, but burnt offering? Why do I need that? As long as I experience Christ. But this is a very specific experience, which will bring us to the goal. Take us to the goal. My servant. My elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out. Often we cry out. My voice is always too loud because we're used to shouting or crying out. Since the first day I was born, I cried out, "Ah!" Even until this day, I'm still crying out, even louder. But the Lord did not cry out. What a humanity, what God treasures the most in the first place is His humanity. What a man. We like to fight, and yeah, we fight often, and we like to do it. We always have something to say, and no matter what situation it is, we react right away and very quickly. But He will not cry out. Nor raise his voice. What does that mean? He will not raise his voice. Unfortunately, we don't have any time because there are so many chapters. I didn't arrive earlier. The first chapters 1 through 12, we read through all the verses, and all the verses that you couldn't understand, you could understand. But this time, I'm sorry, there are too many verses. I'm unfaithful, too lazy. I came too late, and I didn't have the desire to fly. I repent. Because he didn't work too hard on the German translation. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. We don't just raise our voice, but we spread out our fight to the whole world. I'm not just against you, but I'll also take my fight to the whole world. That's why you got a letter from Poland. Somewhere. Why? This is the wickedness in man, the flesh of man. It's better if we would dispense the good message instead of our wickedness. Our goodness, yeah. This is really a shame. We're very different from our Lord. I'd rather not speak too much about that. Nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. Who today is not bruised? Many times, if we just make a small mistake or see it or discover it, then you think, oh, you're broken, you're useless, I'm going to throw you out. If the Lord would do that with us, in the end there would be nothing, no one left in the churches, because we're all bruised and broken somehow. If we're not bruised here, then we're bruised somewhere else. Kurt, right? We all have our mistakes. It's very astounding. I'm not mistake-free, flawless, but I require Zoltan to be flawless. That is a sickness. I'm not perfect, but I expect that you are, or he is perfect. But the Lord is so perfect, and he doesn't expect that we are perfect as he is. It's different from what we are. That's why we have to treasure this wonderful humanity of the Lord, to treasure the meal offering. We need that in the church. His humanity has to replace mine. But some people say we don't need that. Okay, they don't need it, but we do. And we treasure it.
A
bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. For us, we think, ah, it's no use anyway, so we'll just blow it out and quench it and replace it with something else or another one. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged. The whole time when the Lord served, look and read. He never gave up. He used all his time for the people. He was never tired. That doesn't mean that he wasn't tired. He was also a man. But he didn't let it rule over him. And he would not be discouraged. How many times do we fall apart? If we just work a little bit too much, then we need to go on vacation. That belongs, that goes with it. Of course, even if you don't work that much, you still go on vacation. That's how it is. He will not fail or be nor be discouraged. I'll always complain. I'm already tired before I even travel. When I think about the traveling, I'm already tired before I even get into the plane. I'm ashamed, but what should I do? What can I do? He will not fail nor be discouraged or break apart. What a servant. What a servant. We really have to treasure this. So much we treasure, often we treasure that he died on the cross, but we don't treasure his being, how he served, and what kind of a servant he was. And Isaiah already foretold everything. Isn't that wonderful? How did Isaiah know this all? Tell me. And today, even when we read that in the Gospels, we don't treasure it. We don't even realize it. We just take it as, oh, of course, that's normal. We want to serve God, but not like he is. We have many excuses and reasons why this and that. And then we murmur. How often do we murmur? We complain, we murmur, and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I give up. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth. He will finish it and follow through all the way to the end. We serve very differently, unfortunately. Unfortunately. That's why the Lord always must have a remnant that will go on, because those who start will not follow through to the end. They fail, they get discouraged, they're unfaithful, we give up, we don't want to go on, and the Lord will have to go onward with another small group, and that has been the history in the last 2,000 years. We are not faithful. In the beginning, we're burning, full of fire. Then, at one point, we stand still and we don't want to receive more from the Lord and say, we don't need that anymore. And we don't need new revelation anymore. Let's just warm up the old revelation. You know, does the scripture tell us that? And then they accuse you of causing divisions and doing different things. We are all such servants, but I hope that we have learned to take this wonderful humanity of the Lord as the burnt offering daily. The burnt offering, the meal offering, the faithfulness of the Lord. His faithfulness. Paul said, what does one expect of a steward but that he is faithful? Not that he's capable, but faithful. The Lord is a faithful witness to the end, to the death on the cross. And here Isaiah already foretold it. Praise the Lord. We're not for any kind of gain or any kind of position or the praise of man to be lifted up, to be recognized. When we serve and no one recognizes it, then we say, oh, I'm not going to serve anymore. No one treasures my service, appreciates me. We want to have the authority. We want to replace Christ. We want to sit on the throne. We don't want to be dethroned, even though we became like Shebna. Do you remember Shebna? Do you know Shebna? We need this faithful administrator, Eliakim. We are all Shebna. In the flesh, we are unfaithful. Sooner or later, it'll stop with us. That's why Christ has to fill us and replace us. That's why all these offerings are so important and so precious. Of course, we can't force anyone to do that, and we don't force anyone to do that. You can't force anyone to treasure that, to appreciate it. But he who has eyes and sees it, what can you do? This Jesus Christ, he really is our peace offering. He has no problems with God. He is fully coinciding and in oneness with God. And we make noises. We're not in unison with him. We are making noises. We're so loud and we complain. We speak of oneness. But oneness with whom? Oneness with the Father? Or oneness just amongst ourselves there? A strange oneness. But the Lord was fully one with the Father. That means He had no problems with the Father. We need a lot of reconciliation with the Father. We have worked against the Father so much. He will not fail nor be discouraged till He has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands shall wait for His law. The whole earth, one day, when the Lord comes back, the whole world that remains shall wait for His law. But today, we have the privilege to keep His word and heed His word. Every word that proceeds out of God's mouth, we have to treasure it. Amen. What a Messiah. What a Christ. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out. You see, it's always this great God who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. What did God not create? We always have to see what He has done. Verse 6, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. This is the wonderful Christ. Have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. And here the Lord didn't do it Himself as a man, but God led His hand. Don't think that we are so capable to do His work without God's leading. No one is capable in such a way. After all these years, I do believe that some of us have learned something. Not to think that we can do everything. We can do that. And we get into a habit without asking the Lord. To do things without asking the Lord. I will preserve you. I have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you. How many of us can sense that the Lord has called us? But much more, we just say, Lord, here I am. I'm a volunteer. I'm right here. But someone else appointed us and even paid us. How many servants of the Lord today have really been called by God in righteousness? He who is called from God must be righteous, not crooked. I will keep you, protect you. We have to pray, Lord, preserve me, keep me. Don't just keep me so that I would be healthy, preserve me, but preserve me so I won't be distracted, that I won't be led into error, led astray. Because it's about God's work. And I give you as a covenant to the people. The Lord indeed did lead in the new covenant. What man can do that? No one. No one is able to do that. Not you, not I, no one. As a light to the Gentiles, praise the Lord. It was quoted again and confirmed in the Gospels. How wonderful. The Lord already showed us everything in Isaiah. As a light to the Gentiles. Where would you get the light if not from Him? And light is more than just expounding the word. No, light exposes. To open blind eyes. All these things we can see. Everything that Isaiah said here, we can see it in the New Testament. Wonderful. To bring out prisoners from prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. That was also written so clearly, that those who were in darkness under the shadow of death, they saw a great light. And I hope now, again in Baden-Württemberg and Feingen in the university and in the whole of Europe, through faithful servants in Christ Jesus, that many would receive light. Let us get to know this servant and serve with him and let him do this service in us. If we're going to serve, then let us serve in such a way as our Lord did. Amen. See, there's a gospel here. Isn't that the case? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Isaiah. Isn't that wonderful? Lord Jesus, oh Lord. Then we also have to learn, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. And a servant really has to learn this, because in the end, you will rob God of His glory. In the end, you steal His glory. You will be glorified in the end and not Him. How often have we seen this? In the end, I have the authority and you have to be one with me, and everything that I say you should listen and obey. My goodness. That is to be rejected. Remember, the Lord, when He served on this earth, He did not glorify Himself. And that must be written into your hearts, especially now with you. It's so simple to receive, to treasure and appreciate man's praise. When you get man's praise, flee. We all must learn not to praise man. Because if you praise men, you will corrupt them. Then you yourself are also to blame. In the Lord's house, all honor, glory belongs to the elder? No, I'm sorry. You see? It's in my concept. It's so deeply rooted in my concepts. I wanted to say the Lord, but out of my mouth another name came out. slid out, slipped. But God's word said he does not like, he would not, his glory he would not give to another. Verse 9, behold, the former things have come to pass. Everything that God said came to pass. That means everything that God said came to pass. Even his accusation to the people of Israel, it came to pass. And new things I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. If everything that he said before came to pass today, then you have to believe that what he's speaking today now about the future, that also will come to pass exactly as he said it. We don't have to doubt. God prepared such a Christ for us. And now there's a song. Sing to the Lord a new song. When we see this Christ, then we have to praise him. That's why there's a short break. And in this break, we have to praise the Lord because he's so wonderful. We can do nothing else but to praise him. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of them. Let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar inhabits. That means the whole earth and all the inhabitants of the earth must praise him. Just as the Lord also said, and as Paul said, all the knees shall bow, every knee shall bow, and tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But today, we have to do that first. Amen. Lord Jesus, they shall all rejoice. They shall give the Lord the glory and declare his praise in the coastlands. And woe to us if we rob God of his honor and glory in Zion. Amen. And in the end, we also see the Lord. He will be the mighty man, the fighter. He's not just a wonderful Savior. As the Savior, the Lord in his humanity is so meek. He's the shepherd. He doesn't cry out, he doesn't fight, but that's just one side of him. On the other side, there's two sides to a coin. He's sitting on the throne and he will come back as a general. He shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war. He shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. He is also this ascended, victorious Christ. He will make all his enemies to his footstool and he will come again. This is his whole work, his entire work. We have such a wonderful Christ here. And all the different aspects of this wonderful Lord, of this Messiah, we have to know it. We have to know his humanity, his faithfulness. As the servant of the Lord, his redemptive work on the cross when he was on this earth, he was the lamb that was deaf, but today he's no longer deaf. Not deaf, mute. He's sitting on the throne and he will come again. And he will fight this wonderful battle. We also have to know him in this way. Not just know the Lord in one way or one aspect of the Lord. Verse 14, I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Yes, the Lord has been still and restrained himself because he's waiting for more people to be saved. I have restrained myself. We cannot restrain ourselves very long. We don't have that patience. Now, I will cry like a woman in labor. I will pant and gasp at once. And soon, this time will arrive. Praise the Lord. It's going to happen soon. What a Messiah. Oh Lord, I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands and I will dry up the pools. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord Jesus, such a Christ, so many aspects to him. How much do we know this Lord? Oh, it's already past 12, I'm sorry. But then it says, the Messiah will be rejected by his people. Even though the word was so clear and written, you can read it yourself. I don't have to read it. I don't have to talk about it anymore. It's good that we can read. The word is not sealed to us, but we can read it and understand it, not as the Lord spoke to the Jews. Read it, but they say, no, I can read it, but it's sealed. I don't understand it. And the others, they can't read it, and they also don't understand it, but those who can read don't understand. But today, praise the Lord. We can read it and understand it. Blessed are those who read and keep the word and also do it. Amen. Let's pray some more.